I have been very encouraged over the course of the summer, as many of you have been emailing me and actually sending me pictures of what you got the opportunity to do this summer. How many of you had the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody this summer? Wow. I got an incredible report back from Mr. Vowles and the Center for Global Opportunities folks, and there were over 4,000 gospel conversations this summer that our student body had. That is stunning to me, and it is amazing, and I want to thank you for your heart for that. And it goes right along with the theme of our time together, Show Us Christ. So I want to ask you to open your Bible to the book of Revelation, which is the counterpart, the continuation of John's gospel. And we're going to look at a verse out of Revelation chapter 1. And I'm going to be very sensitive about our time. This is not going to be a highly developed, polished message. I want to get right to the main idea that I think our theme and this text connect. And that idea is this. And I'll preface it this way. Many of you spent your summer doing exactly what the theme is talking about. Many of you spent your summer talking to people, living out your life as a credible witness, a joyful testimony of who Jesus Christ is and what he came to do. And some of you did that in camps. Some of you did that week after week in a cabin with 10, 12, 8 different people, some junior hires, which are lower life forms of high schoolers. And you got the opportunity to sort of show what you have come to see and understand about Jesus Christ. And many of you have made immense impacts on the life of other people. Some of you did it across the ocean on a foreign field. Some of you did it in a clinic. Some of you might have done it at a VBS. Some of you did it at your home church. Some of you did it working a summer job at a place like a Walmart, or maybe at a McDonald's or a Starbucks. And you had an opportunity to spend your summer showing people who Jesus Christ really is and what he is like. And I promise you two things. If you did that, God will bring about fruit. You may not see the fruit. You may not have felt like you had any impact this summer. But you will be surprised how many times people like me run into people years later who come to know Jesus on a personal level. And when we start digging into how it happened, they go back to something that happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago when I was at camp or I was at church or I got invited to or I worked with. And so your summer was not spent in vain. And so the first thing I want to just remind us of is that what we did this summer for Jesus' sake will continue to have fruit. Here's the second thing I'm fairly confident of, and that is if you did this, there were times when it was extraordinarily difficult, when it was hard, and you suffered. It cost you. Maybe you found yourself like Dr. Crockett described at a camp, and it was immensely lonely for you. Maybe some of you started off and you had all this boundless energy and this idea that you were going to be the next world evangelist at camp, and 3 weeks in, you lost your voice, and you got sick, and you forgot the cheers, and you had campers who were from the pit, and you just couldn't get past that, and you suffered. And I want to make a comment about those two realities. And that is this: as you and I live our life, that is our life. That is the ministry. Ministry Chapel is intended to instill in your heart a passion for the ministry. It's not about what school you're in. It's not about the school of religion or the seminary or the school of business. It's about people who have come to understand something about Jesus, something amazing, and they want to spend their life helping other people to see that. And in order for that to really happen effectively in your life and mine, we have to see Jesus. And the only way we're going to see him is if he reveals himself to us. And so for just about 4 minutes, I want to show you and I want to take you to the story of a man who spent his entire ministry talking about Jesus, shepherding people in the church that had been established that Jesus promised in the city of Ephesus, and that now found himself in his 80s at the end of his life, suffering for Jesus. And at that state, this is the disciple John. He had stood beneath the cross. He had heard the words of Jesus. He was one of Jesus' most intimate friends. He had listened and witnessed. He had handled and touched the word of life. You read the Gospel of John, and it is amazing what he is saying about who Jesus really is. And yet, at the very end of his life, after all of this ministry and after all of this understanding, he finds himself at the feet of Jesus, and he is stunned. And that's what we find in this passage. And so I want you to notice, beginning in verse 13 of Revelation 9, and we're just going to jump into the text. John is on the island of Patmos. He's there because of his testimony for Jesus, and he is suffering imprisonment, and he is suffering hardship for the name of Jesus. And he says this, in the midst, he sees a vision, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, white as snow, his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Now, this is not the first time John had seen Jesus like this. If you remember, way back some 60 years earlier, John had been on a mountain with two other disciples, and they had seen an amazing transformation of the man who was their earthly leader, Jesus of Nazareth. And they saw him, and he radiated like this. He radiated light. And now John sees him again, and he falls to the feet of this angel that is showing him this vision, and he is fearful. And the idea there is he is in utter awe, in utter amazement at what he is seeing. And I want to ask you this morning, have you ever really been utterly amazed by who Jesus really is? I mean, we think of him as a carpenter, right? Humble, born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, spent his life in a little tiny portion of land that we know today as Israel. Never really went outside the borders of that land other than maybe just to across the Jordan River, but pretty much stayed there. We know about his teaching and his announcement of the kingdom. We know his preaching. We see his life, and we know about his death, his resurrection. But have you ever been stunned like John was stunned? And I think there were two things, and I wish we had time for more, but I'm just going to give you two things that if you stop and think about for the entire semester ought to just constantly amaze you and stun you that Jesus is revealing about himself here. And the first is this: he is a perfect priest that is perfecting and purifying his suffering servant. He is a perfect priest that is perfecting and purifying a suffering servant. Notice verse 13. Look at the imagery that is there. There is the Son of Man. Now, when you see that word Son of Man, that may not make a lot of sense to you, but if you lived in John's time and you were familiar with the Old Testament, you would have immediately associated that term with a vision that Daniel had. The book of Daniel is all about getting you ready to receive a vision from the man who absolutely has the ability to see and understand the visions that God gives him. So the first part of Daniel is all about laying out Daniel's credentials and helping you understand that this man is a most unusual man. He understands visions that God gives him. And then in chapter 7, you get the most amazing and stunning vision. And you see the Ancient of Days sitting on a throne and someone coming to him, and his title is the Son of Man. And this person gets the title deed to everything. He gets a kingdom. He gets authority. He gets dominion. And he's given a people, and those people are also given that kingdom. And that's who's standing in front of John. He is the Son of Man. It's that figure in Daniel's day. That's who our older brother really is. And that should stun us. And then you see what he's dressed like, and the apparel that he wears is what a priest would have worn in the Old Testament. It is not just priestly, it is royal. And this priest is purifying and perfecting his suffering servant. And then I want you to notice the second thing. He is a powerful judge who pardons his sinful servants. He's a powerful judge. I mean, notice how he's described in verse 14. He's all wise. His head and his hair are brilliant white. His eyes are all knowing like flames of fire. He's undeceivable. He's unstoppable. His feet are like bronze, strong and unstoppable, heated in the fire. He is unanswerable. His voice is like a mighty waterfall. No one can overpower the voice. No one can overturn his decisions. He is unassailable. His right hand is a hand of strength and power and protection. He is invincible. His sword is unstoppable. He is inapproachable. His face is like the sun shining in its full strength. And John falls in fear. And you and I sometimes need to be reminded that this is actually who Jesus is. He is doing for you and for me what he was doing for John in this picture. He is our astonishing, amazing, jaw-dropping priest. And he's not just standing there. He's actually doing something. He is purifying you. And he is perfecting you. There are things that your heavenly high priest will do for you this semester to purify you and to grow you, to sanctify you. And then at the same time, he is this powerful, unstoppable, unassailable judge. And as you fall before his feet, he actually lifts you up and he says, forgiven. He has forgiven you. Some of you have found that forgiveness, and some of you will continually need that forgiveness throughout the semester. And when you see that Jesus, here's what happens, at least to me. You want to go out and you want to tell other people. I want you to know who he really is. I want you to know what he's really like. And I know because I've experienced it. I know because like John, I've been exposed to that incredible vision. And you say, well, when have you been exposed to that vision? And the answer is, I just read it to you. You don't have to go to Patmos to see that vision. You don't have to like crawl out behind your dorm and crawl under a bush and wait for this like heavenly vision to come. All you have to do is open up your Bible like we just did. And the vision is right there. And it is transformative. So as you go out to show Jesus, make sure that you take the time to let Jesus show Jesus to you. Lord, thanks for our time today. Thanks for everything we've talked about, the amazing opportunities that are in front of us this semester. I'm thankful for the double major program. I'm thankful for all of the opportunities that we have to prepare and actually go and show Jesus. But Lord, most of all, more than anything, we need your word to show us your Son. And Lord, show Jesus to us in very real ways this semester that would be transformative to us. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.